Thanks very much. Nice to be here after that rather sort of dubious introduction of mine. I did improve. I was born in Leicester, lived in Leicester as a young man, worked for Midland Bank around the Midlands for 18 years. And I left Midland Bank, well, it's now HSBC, isn't it? Left Midland Bank and went to Oak Hill College in North London, trained there for 3 years. Did a curacy at Tunbridge Wells, which was terribly smart. Then the first priesthood incumbency at Chatham, that was dead common. If you've ever been to Chatham, it's the place God forgot, I think. It's a dreadful place. Anyway, I was there for 12 years, and I think I had 5 murder victims in my parish in those 12 years. Then I moved to Brize Norton and Carterton. Brize Norton, of course, the air base, so we had half of our congregation were airmen and air ladies, and I was there for 12 years. Then I retired in June of last year and moved up to Cromer to be nearer to sundry grandchildren who were sort of scattered down the coast. So that's me. Let's pray. Father, it's good to be here. We pray that as we look at your word together, so you will just take away that stuff that's of no value, but you would speak to us what you want us to hear from your word this morning. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, we're in our series, Following the King. It did say it earlier on, didn't it? Following the King with Integrity. And we've come to chapter 12 of Mark, which is a collection, really, of various happenings that occurred to Jesus. But all of them dealing with the same sort of question. How do we, how's our faith affect our lives? Which I guess is the same as saying, how do we follow our King with integrity? And as I looked at these verses, I thought that they read a little bit like a school report. Now, I don't know what school reports are like nowadays. My children are way past school report age. But in my day, they were quite brutal, really. My senior school reports sort of went in, I guess they went, well, they certainly started off bad. And then remarks like Billings, there was none of this first name, soft, woozy stuff in my day. It was Billings, wasn't it? So Billings could do much better if he listened. Billings paid as much attention to games as he did to the rest of his subjects. He would do better. And stuff like that. If Billings tried a little harder, Billings worked a little more, etc., etc., etc. But I remember in the third year of my school career, We stayed in the same forms and for years 1 and 2. Then we were graded in year 3, and they moved you to, depending how bright or thick you were, they moved you to various third years, and it was some ridiculous. I think 3D were the real clever ones, followed by 3A, and then 3B. What have I left out? 3E came next. Right at the bottom came the dregs, 3C. And if you're in 3C, forget it, you know, you were the failure. Well, it doesn't take any prizes to work out which class I got moved to, 3C. And I remember being horrified. And it was, if anybody asked me what form I was in, I said, oh, I'm in 3. And if I wrote it, I'd put 3 smudge, you know, because it was really quite humiliating being with the sort of lower end of the school. And we had a new school teacher. Always be thankful for him. Any of you are school teachers, you really can affect people's lives. He was an ex-commando type, great big bloke, you know. We all sort of worshipped him as he must have killed hundreds of people, you know. And I remember he stood in the front of the class the first day of term, and he said, right, you lot probably think you're a failure. He said, you probably think you're the dregs and no use, but I can tell you you're not. You start working and you make it. All words like that, you know, and he sort of stood there and flexed his muscles. And I remember thinking, gosh, perhaps I ought to work. I can remember thinking it at the age of 13. Well, perhaps I'll change. Perhaps I will work. And I actually started working. And then my school reports changed. And they were from bad, they went to better. And things like Billings is really trying this term. Or, you know, things like Billings is really making improvement this term. And then at the end of the term, the accolade of it all, I got a prize. It's the only school prize I ever got. Just in case you don't believe me, I've brought it. Because I'm very proud of it. This is it. Complete works of William Shakespeare. The only time it's any use is crossword puzzles. That's the only time I ever bring it out to answer one of these crosswords. And that's it. It says, first prize, 3C, me. So dead chuffed. End of a term, bad, better, best. My school report went to. And as we look at Mark's Gospel and our reading, it reads very much like that. Bad, better, best. What were the bad? Well, first of all, the bad were the Sadducees. They came to Jesus in confrontation, anger, and ignorance. Anger probably because previously Jesus has just booted folk out from the temple courts and complained about the trading and everything that was happening, and the Sadducees were in charge of organising all of that, so they weren't too keen about Jesus anyway. But they came in ignorance and they came in anger, and they tried to trap Jesus. Now the Sadducees were a sect, and they only followed the Pentateuch, first five books of the Bible. They said all the rest isn't as important, only the first five books are important, and that's our prime source of teaching. And they didn't believe in any afterlife, that's what the Bible tells us. They didn't believe in the resurrection. As the old joke goes, that's why they were sad, you see. Sorry, I heard that years ago and I always like saying it again. Yeah, they didn't believe in the afterlife. So they brought this tricky question to Jesus about marriage. Brother having a wife, dying, you know, who looks after her, the next brother. And then down to sort of all seven die, and then when you get to heaven, whose wife is she? A question based on a little bit of truth. If you look at Deuteronomy chapter 25, probably haven't time to do all this, but didn't do it at home, it talks about this sort of marriage plan that they had. The sort of idea was to look after the widow, of course. There wasn't such a thing as social services or anything like that. So, you know, the next brother down would indeed, in fact, take the lass as his wife. So it was based upon some truth. But of course, it was a trap, because they didn't believe in any afterlife at all. So it was just a spurious question trying to trick Jesus. Jesus' answer we need to look at very quickly. He said, look, you're ignorant, he said. You don't know the scriptures, even the five books that you say you follow. You don't know, and you don't know anything about the power of God, and you're ignorant about heaven. And then Jesus just answers their questions and says, God, verse 26, God said, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. I am, not I was, I am. Therefore, even from your scriptures, we have something about life after death. He says, you know nothing about the power of God. God is perfectly capable of raising folk to life again. And you know nothing about heaven. Heaven is not suburbia part two. You know, living in a nice house and the weeds don't grow and the lawn doesn't want mowing. That's what we all tend to think of it a little bit, isn't it? But it's nothing like that at all. He said, you're ignorant. So the first people who were bad were the Sadducees. The next who were bad were the scribes. And these were also a sect, and their job was to interpret the law and tell the Jewish people how to live. And they'd got just a little bit too proud. Verse 38, beware of the scribes who desired to go around in long robes, love greetings, best seats, best places, devour widows and make long prayers. Sounds a bit like the Church of England. This is being recorded, isn't it? Oh dear. The scribes had lost the plot. They walked around outside in long robes. Now, the idea about that is, if you wore a long robe, you couldn't move very quickly. You sort of swished around the marketplace and looked impressive. And they wore long robes to look impressive. They loved being seen and being recognised and being important. They got too greedy. They wanted the best seats in the synagogue. Now, that in the synagogue was the front pew. In the Anglican church, of course, it would be the back pew. But in the synagogue, the best seat was the front pew because it was next to the holy book. There'd be pews, a stage, and on top of the stage would be the scrolls. And so the nearer you got to the scrolls, the best seats you were in. And the scribes made sure they sat on the front seats. They'd lost their compassion. They were preying upon widows. And they've become addicted to long and pompous prayers. As Jesus points out in Matthew 6, often in public. That's before Jesus gave us the Lord's Prayer. He says, "Don't." This is a succinct prayer for you to use. So bad was the scribes, bad were the Pharisees, and bad were the rich worshippers. That's the little bit at the end. Between the court of the Gentiles and the court of women was the gate Beautiful, the gate where Peter and John healed the lame man. And Jesus could well have sat there and just watched. Inside the court of women, apparently there were large collecting trumpets for folk to put in their money. Each trumpet for a sort of different reason. And I guess they would have been made from metal. So they'd have made a very satisfying noise. So the rich people were coming with a handful of quite solid coins and chucking them in from a distance and making a whole lot of noise to impress folk. And also the amount they gave, although it looked a lot in comparison to their income, actually wasn't very good. It was much less. So we've got bad. The Sadducees, in ignorance and anger and didn't really know the power of God. The scribes, who had got lost somewhere in legalism and had lost love. And the worshippers, the rich worshippers, hadn't got a real heart but were just doing it to be seen. Better. The better is the scribe. Now verse 28, one of the scribes came and heard them reasoning together and perceived that Jesus had answered well. Now this man is genuine. He's okay. He wants to get to the truth. He's sympathetic to the answer of Jesus. And the question he asked actually wasn't designed to trap Jesus. It was quite a fair question of the day. The Jews had two ways of looking at the law. One was to expand it into countless instructions, like the European common market food directions, you know, where you have 48 pages on the length of a cucumber. The Jews did a similar sort of thing to the law and expanded it minutia, what you can and can't do, etc., etc. The other way was to actually reduce it to a sound bite, which again is exactly the same sort of thing that we have today. All big firms, etc., try and get a sound bite, don't they, on the TV. So you only have to hear the sound bite and you know the sort of produce. And the Jews tried to do that also. They expanded the law so it had hundreds and hundreds of tiny little things, and they reduced it so it was just one common sound bite. Now we haven't got time to have a look at this morning, but if you're on MP3 you can. There's sort of examples of this that apparently it's said that on Mount Sinai Moses gave to the children of Israel 613 laws. I guess if you've got time to go through Deuteronomy and Leviticus and count them, you could agree. 613. In Psalm 15, David reduces those to 11. In Isaiah 33, verse 15, Isaiah reduces them to 6. In Micah 6, verse 8, Micah reduces them to 3. And in Habakkuk 2, verse 4, Habakkuk reduces them to 1. So it was quite a, you know, quite a sort of reasonable look at. Can you bring a soundbite out, Jesus, to just succinctly say what following God is all about? And Jesus answers, doesn't he, in those words we have. The first of the commandments we have is, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul and your mind and your strength. And the second is, you shall love your neighbours as yourself." Now Jesus here is taking the Old Testament. He takes what's known as the Shema. That's the central creed of the Jewish faith. It comes from Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 to 9. Deuteronomy 11, 13 to 21, and Numbers 15, 37 to 41. It is still said before any Jewish service. The words are put in the phylacteries, the little boxes that the Jews wear at worship, and in the mezuzah, which is a little box of scripture that is inside the door of every Jewish house. The words of the Shema are put in. So Jesus picks up Old Testament teaching, but he adds to it. He adds from Leviticus 19:18, "You shall love your neighbour as yourself." And the scribe accepts this willingly and shows that he knows scripture, because he quotes from 1 Samuel 15. "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as obeying the voice of the Lord? Better to obey than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of lambs." So we've got a man here whose approach to God is much better. We've gone from the bad report to the doing better, trying hard. Better again is the widow. She comes to the giving trumpets with two small coins. Now these were known apparently as lepta, that means the thin one. Some versions call them a farthing, because nobody sort of under my age knows what a farthing is nowadays either. It doesn't help us very much. But they were the smallest coin possible. But it's all she had, and it represented a huge sacrifice. Remember at my last church, we every now and then would have a sort of giving envelope filled with pennies. It used to be highly annoying for the treasurer, but it was actually a couple of kids who tithed their pocket money. You know, they gave sacrificially. So this woman only puts in a couple of tiny coins, but she gave sacrificially, and she also gave abundantly. She only had two coins. She chucked them both in. Been reasonable, you think, to have chucked one in and kept one. She didn't. She gave abundantly. She is following God better. Bad, better, and best. And what is the best? Well, the best comes in that response, or the hint to it, that response from Jesus to the scribe. Verse 34. "Now when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, 'You are not far from the kingdom of God.'" Now, of course, the answers that the Sadducees needed, they needed proper knowledge. And that's essential. We need to know our Bibles. We need to know our faith. We need to know Scripture. We need to be loving. Of course we do. For our faith to be genuine, it has to affect our lives, both for us and the people we meet. 1 John 3:11. "For this is the message you've heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." Giving, of course. Who is it that said the last thing to be converted is a man's wallet? Wasn't it Wesley, I think? Somebody said that. Or Luther. Luther, yeah. "Last thing converted is a man's wallet." Very true. Paul says in Acts 20, it's more blessed to give than to receive. But what's the best? Well, it's hinted, as I said, in this reply. "You are not far from the kingdom of God." The scribe's heart was ready for commitment. Did he make it? We don't know. Is it too fanciful to just think that later, after the cross and after he'd heard about the resurrection, that the scribe realised that the rabbi who he was talking to, who had talked so much sense, who he really was? And did the scribe say, "Now I understand what he was talking about"? And did he turn and followed Jesus. We don't know. Lovely to think that he did. John 3:3, except one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. For the scribe, his journey of integrity finished and began with Jesus. So too with us, isn't it? Knowing, loving, giving, finishes and begins again, all with Jesus. Jesus took a little child, set him in the midst and said, assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of God. Matthew 18, not childish, of course, but childlike. So as we look at this chapter, we look at ourselves in all our various areas of our faith. Are we in the bad? Are we in the better? Or have we gone in to the best? The relationship with Jesus, the trust, and the kingdom of heaven, and a place there for us. Father, bless us as we look at our lives, as we go into the coming week, as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.